Today, we are talking Knock.
Welcome everyone to another episode of Talkin' Knock. I am your host, Tristan, joined by my host who's stuck around like that piece of corn in your intestine, Peyton. How you doing today, Peyton?
Well, I'm not doing so okay because it seems like the universe has some hatred for our D&D group. And for the third time in a row, a storm has came by and knocked out the internet of someone.
Yeah, you missed Call of Cthulhu again, right?
Yep. We were going to do it all October, and guess how many sessions we've had this October?
A big old zero?
Big old zero, because of Mother Nature.
Well, it's okay. I mean, at least we had our Halloween session where we played Mothership, or Mom Boat, as the kids are calling it these days.
I think we should give it the graces it needs and call it Mothership, because there was way too much production value in there to call it Mom Boat.
Yeah, that was really fun. I got to take advantage of like the community-made interactive terminal, and we did Ypsilon 14, so we got to also take advantage of the included voice logs for that. So it was a good time. I had a blast.
Me, and I'm pretty sure everyone else had a blast too, and I know that a few times when you were AFK, we were all commenting on just like, Jesus, this is a lot of shit put together and it's really good.
Awesome. I'm glad it went like that. Before we get too much into what else we're doing in RPGs, just a little bit of housekeeping. So we are going to be, like I said in last episode, restructuring coming after Knock 1. So we're going to switch from the format we have now, where we're basically doing an article or two or three per recording session. And instead, what we're going to do is break something like Knock down into a month-long recording, so it's broken into four parts, but then we'll do sessions on Scientific Barbarian, Weird Science, Hall Breach, all of those kind of things as well. So just as a little teaser of what's to come, we're probably going to be doing Knock 1 in this format to make sure all the artists and writers get the due credit that others have had in here, until about January is when we're slated to finish up. But anyway, with that being said, you and I actually have quite a bit of DCC coming up for both of us.
Well, I know I personally have Will's thing tomorrow, and then your stuff on Tuesdays, unless I'm missing something.
Yeah. I mean, we have the DCC playtest with Will Keller, who was on the show. We're doing a Dying Earth module playtest. Then Empire of Cyclops Con is next weekend, which I've got going on. And then actually on Saturday, I also have an MCC game going on with Jim Walls of the Glowburn podcast. So I guess I've got a little bit more. You've got the playtest, though, which sounds like it'll be really fun.
And I'm excited for the playtest, even though I know almost nothing about it.
Yeah, you didn't have a chance to do the open night that they did for Dying Earth. So this will be all fresh for you, which is great because I absolutely love it.
And I enjoy blind playthroughs.
There you go. So our first article today, I guess we can get right into it again. We're on Knock 1 by Olivia Revenue and Eric Nyden, as per usual. And the first thing we're looking at is My Goblins Are by Fiona Maeve Geist, with art by Gustave Doré. So Fiona Maeve used to have, I say used to because it looks like both of her blogs are now defunct, which is very sad, but she had a blog called Ziggurat of the Unknowing, which is pretty metal in my opinion.
I mean, I like the word ziggurat, so it has that going for it.
And also, Gustave Doré is another historical artist who did illustrations for a ton of stuff, from Lord Byron's work, from Lord Byron's work to Poe's work to even the Bible. So definitely check him out if you get a chance. He was 1800s, so really interesting person. But what did you think, first thoughts on this one?
I guess I didn't really know what to think, because when you go into, I don't know, what do you think about what a goblin is? You already have so much in your mind about what like your stereotypical goblin is. And then you go into this article, which it's basically its entire premise is just expanding your mind on just what a goblin could be. And you're like, whoa, they're more than just, you know, tiny little green bastards that show up and ruin your day.
Yeah, I put, as my quote for the summary, I put, make your goblins fucking weird, but like in a good way.
It is weird and magical, and it's all over the place, and I love it.
Yeah, her first sentence is, my goblins are unnatural creatures whose primary form of sustenance is inspiration and uncontrolled emotional expression, which to me kind of sounds like someone who just moved to LA for the chance to act, but I guess you could also apply it to goblins in this case.
Hey, come on, it's 2021. It's not only LA, it's also everyone on social media too.
There you go. You're right. You're absolutely right. The TikTok generation.
Them darn kids dancing on their TikToks.
Yeah, I really like this one. I thought it was fun. I like the little references where all of the goblins have like this magical what's in their pockets thing, which is obviously based on Lord of the Rings, I believe. But I had a blast with this one. I thought it's a really good example of the core of OSR, which is making nothing be expected. And if you have these creatures which you like from just regular fantasy, then yeah, grab something from them and then just twist them and make them weird. So for instance, her goblins have like innate magic, they have unnatural powers, so like plants grow in its footsteps, it spider walks, it levitates, stuff like that. And then they just wear absolutely crazy clothing. I didn't really know what the animal column was. Did that mean like a companion it had, or do you know what that was?
I just took that to mean more like what the goblin would be based on, like a comparable real world
analogy.
Oh,
yeah. I like that. That's a good one. And also it gives you like a little bit of a visual baseline to describe them. So makes them all weird.
I especially like the coconut crab animal, because you can do so many things by turning your usual goblins into tiny ass little crabs.
Yeah, I think that would be really fun. And it's just wonderful. It's a fun two-pager. First page is just kind of giving a baseline of why she thinks the way that she does. And then the second page is just a bunch of tables for you to roll on to make like a weird group of goblins. And I think I'll probably pick this up at some point, because they're almost like sprites more than goblins, and I love that.
They're like sprites, and you can just do so much with it, and it doesn't even necessarily have to be like a combat thing. Like something under unnatural is like anything they touch transmutes to gold. That just sounds like a more comedic relief hilarity thing than something you have to throw in an encounter.
Yeah, just like something the players run into and have some reason for them being there, which like is something that we've talked about in past articles, but just have something weird and fun and just outlandish for them to run into. And I mean, you could even have, say, a sage of some type, and you get there and it's one of these creatures like just fucking balls to the wall crazy as you're going through it in a great way.
Yeah, I love how every single thing on here is about as eccentric as you can imagine.
Yeah, my favorite, it has something in its pockets, is number 25, which is a d20 amount of baguettes.
Them would have to be some rather large pockets.
If you think that's large, how about number 49, which is d4 cows or d100 pigs? Yeah, it's those are some very deep pockets going on.
You know, just like you go to walk up and fight a casual goblin and he pulls 100 pigs out, no big deal.
It's like a smoke bomb, but made of pink flesh.
Oh, no. Why'd you have to make me think of that?
Yeah, you like that mental image?
I hate it.
So our second article that we're touching on today is The Labors of Hercules as OSR Obstacles by Ben Milton, with art by our favorite Michael Shepard. So Ben Milton, going in, we've had some mixed reviews on Ben Milton. He's written some stuff that we really, really like about what kids' RPGs are missing. And then he had some that we kind of disagreed with, where he was talking about, you know, calling RPGs and tabletop games adventure games versus OSR, and our, not necessarily complaints, but just our disagreements there. So I didn't really know what to expect going into this one, especially now I'm at the point where I'm rereading this and looking at the authors more than I had the first read through. So before we get too much into it, again, it's Michael Shepard, and this wonderful Hydra image that he did, just, I mean, it proves to me that he 100% could have been illustrating for the old monster manuals if he was around at the time.
I mean, I guess to me, it looks smaller than what you would expect a Hydra to be, but other than that, I love it.
Yeah, and I think I really like always the reimagined stuff, because I feel like the Hydra at this point is so overdone that seeing it be like a little bit smaller, and I don't know, this is just a style that if you go back in the old monster manuals, like everything had this kind of vibe to it, which I think he nails.
Yeah, like he made it more of a snake-like creature and gave it no limbs, which, yeah, like you said, it gives it a good reimagining.
Yeah, so I actually really liked this article. I don't know about you. It was one of those things that Nock is really known for me, which is just me reading something and then it getting my brain thinking more and more about it and thinking deeper on it. What did you think of it?
Well, I mean, aside from what you said and how it's definitely just good thought material made me realize that maybe the Greeks would have been some good DMs.
Yeah, and I think that that kind of gets down to the base of what it is. So a little bit of summary about the article. We won't dive too far into it, but he has the 12 labors of Hercules listed out, and he says basically how you could relate that to OSR thinking, which I really like, and it made me realize how dry a lot of modern fantasy is, and how if you look back at some of the classics, yes, Greek classic, but also stuff like Beowulf, that is OSR without the role-playing part. Like we've lost so much of the context, or like if it was either a full legend or we've lost context of what the legend actually meant. So instead we just get these like gonzo stories that make no sense, but are fantastic to pull from.
Yeah. And I'm not going to get political. Just looking at it from an anthropology perspective, if you take a certain story or fable or whatever, and like you adapt it to another region, they'll get changed a bit. And eventually this happens so much, the stories become homogenized to the point where like maybe you kind of feel you lost the plot, which I guess some people would make an analogy towards OSR and D&D, but I'm certainly not going to do that because I don't want to fan the flames.
Yeah, I just feel like when you're looking at something like, and he even mentions the other ones like Theseus and the Minotaur, Perseus and the Trojan Horse, stuff like that, or Perseus and Medusa rather, and then also the Trojan Horse. When you're looking at something like that, it's so off the wall when you read through it, where the king, for Hercules specifically, the king is just like rattling off stuff where he's like, there's no way he's going to be able to do that. And then he's able to do it using his brain, not necessarily always gear of some type, but he's using his brain more, which I think is a lot of what the core of OSR is, you know?
Yeah, in a lot of these examples, he goes there with like, what, almost literally nothing? And he still manages to, you know, capture Cerberus or retrieve the belt of Hippolyta the Amazon and whatnot, just using his bare hands and his brain.
Yeah, and exactly. Like, clean the stables of Aegeus. The stables are full of just a ton of cattle just shitting wildly. And when you look at it, you're like, oh man, how is he going to do that? And he literally diverts the entire river into the stables to just clean them out for him. And when you watch like unnamed fantasy movie number 47 on Netflix or Amazon or whatever your streaming platform of choice is, none of this is ever going to happen in there. You're never going to have those gonzo adventures. And so if you want almost like a true D&D style story, just read some of the classics because they're wild.
And in this case, you know, classics means, you know, like 4 or 5 whatever thousand year old classics, not like from the 60s.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. The Greek classics rather than the boomer classics.
The Greek classics rather than the Disney movies.
Look, one day the Disney movies are going to be classics, which is going to be terrible.
Oh, they're going to be canon. It's going to be God. Hercules now.
Hercules completely changes into blue-haired Hades and Danny DeVito.
You know, maybe this isn't the worst timeline after all.
Yeah, if Danny DeVito's in it, it can't be that bad.
Exactly.
So we have a listener question today who someone just actually kind of asked me in passing, and I feel bad because I was not able to get his name. But he asked, what are some other good OSR or RPG magazines to look into besides Nock? And so I have a quick list of a few that I would recommend that I really like. So there's Weird Science, which is basically similar to Dragon magazines from the, you know, 90s and early 2000s, I think they reached into, and 70s. There's Back to Basics, which basically reviews products and gives ideas for BX clones, so basic and expert set clones brought to like a modern time. Then there's Scientific Barbarian, which is basically inspired by Gamma World. That's all about post-apocalyptic living. Gamma World was a game, I believe, from the 70s. It might have been early 80s that was like kind of the first attempt at going into this apocalyptic setting. So Scientific Barbarian kind of borrows from that. And then there's an upcoming Kickstarter that's very similar to Nock called Hull Breach. That's kind of the similar idea to Nock, but more focused on Mothership. So we've obviously really enjoyed Mothership, and we're going to back that Kickstarter. It's coming up. So that's kind of my list. I don't know if you have any to add that you've thought of, but...
Well, you know me. Like, we joke that this is, like, the first thing you've gotten to me to read in years. I'm not necessarily a magazine kind of guy. I get most of my information from, like, random articles and videos on the internet because I'm a lazy millennial. What can I say? So I really don't have anything here.
Yeah, no, that's fine. And for those of you who don't know from the audience, this whole podcast kind of sprang from me wanting to get Peyton to read a little bit more. So I was like, hey, let's do this. Let's kind of do like a book club together and just make a podcast out of it so we have something that keeps us doing it. And here we are, I guess, 2 months later or so. 3 months, maybe?
Yeah, I'd have to rate reading a whole 7 out of 10. Better than I remembered, but still not great.
Yeah, I think it helps to be reading something that it's different every time we look at it, and I think that definitely helps a lot more.
And not only that, but just the way that Nock organizes stuff, it helps keep my school brain going.
Yeah, that's very true. The layout and the pictures and the colors and stuff definitely kind of grab your eyes. You turn from page to page, and it's nice because you can just pick up the book, flip to something random and be like, God, this looks interesting. I'm going
to
read this.
Yeah, you can just flip to the end of the book, and instead of getting a spoiler, you'll just get a completely unrelated article that you're going to use in your next campaign.
Yeah, or in the case of Nock, a bunch of wonderful maps too, which I am actually using a little bit right now as I'm designing our campaign world finally.
Are you telling me that there are maps that I haven't seen in here yet?
Yeah, you scroll to the back, there's like a whole host of like fun little maps.
Oh, well, like I said in an earlier episode, I'm kind of taking this article by article, so I'll have to check that out afterward.
Yeah, we'll cover them in a future episode too, so we'll go from there. All right, everybody, well, I don't have anything else, so Peyton, unless you do, then we'll see you guys next week.
Yeah, I don't have anything to add, so we'll see you next week.
All right, bye, everybody.
Goodbye.